Tonight, please welcome Patty Kay, who will share experience, strength, and hope with us tonight.
That's not too bad. I'm going to add a call, Patty. 20 minutes. That's what he just told me, 20 minutes. I might start lying, that's right. I'm going to add a call, Patty. You know, on the way over here, I was thinking about when I had like 2 years clean, somebody in the fellowship who also worked in a rehab asked me if I would come and speak at a convention for paramedics, right? And my ego immediately inflated, you know, and I was like, oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Now I get a chance to tell somebody else what to do and how to do it. And they paid me. They were paying me, too. And I was like, I thought, oh, this is recovery. I like this, okay? And I went to this, he drove me down there, and I went to this huge convention hall. And, I mean, I couldn't even, in my peripheral vision, I couldn't even see everyone that was in this hall, right? And there was like 2,000. It was some sort of convention, and you know, with workshops and everything else. Members of the American Medical Association, and I mean, you know. So now I'm like, yeah, okay. And so I started to. They introduced me, and I started to share my story. Right, because with 2 years clean, all I had was a story, okay? I had no recovery, all right? It took a long time for that stuff to sink in. But I had a great story, okay? You know, and it became better on the ride down there, too. So I share my story, and then they get to ask me questions. All right, from this huge auditorium, and there's people out in there, and they're asking me questions, and their biggest frustration was they left addicts because addicts refuse treatment. And they were asking me, how do we treat somebody who doesn't want to be treated? So I got to make shit up, okay, because I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. I know about the third tradition, you know, and you're not going to beat it into them, you know, that rehab, you know, jails, institutions, it doesn't matter. An addict does not stop unless they want to. And from that point on, I realized that the only message I have is the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And the only people that I need to be talking to are addicts who understand that. I have no business telling the American Medical Association how to rearrange their policies to accommodate us, okay? And my ego told me that I could do that, okay? But, you know, 2 years clean, full of shit, okay? So I carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous. I am an addict. I understand what the disease of addiction is. You know, it says in the introduction of our basic text that alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Okay? Addiction is a condition of the body, mind, and spirit. It is a hopeless dilemma whose solution is spiritual in nature. Therefore, our literature, the basic text, is going to deal with spiritual matters. And, you know, people pick up that book, and we seek identification. That basic text, with all the stories and every, it says in the introduction, this book is going to deal with spiritual matters. It is not about the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. It is about solutions. I don't know if you read the meditation today, man. It tells you right there the steps are the program. And I have experience in that. You know, I believe it or not, I used drugs for a very long time, okay? For many years in recovery, I never wanted to really look clean. You know, I hung on to that image that I had of myself on the street, which was completely fabricated and fantasized. You know, what's that movie, Pretty Woman? Okay, you know, that fantasy that. That life is there's some sort of pride and ego that I needed to preserve that image of, you know, being tough and, you know what, being able to take anything you can dish out. And, you know, I still have not let all that go, okay? I still have not let all that go. For some, I think one of the biggest reasons that I've not been able to quit smoking is because I have a look with a cigarette in my mouth that I can't get without it. And, I mean, maybe if I could figure out how to keep that look and let go of the smoking, you know, I don't know. Smoking still works for me, so I don't know about that. But I know that all that stuff is ego and distorted sense of self, which is what ego is. It's a distorted sense of self. We're either way up here or way down there. You know, there is no humility in that. And my ego is definitely distorted. I'm getting better. And you know what? I was told when I got here that we recover, we come in 99. I'm being recorded. Am I allowed to curse? Okay. I'm being recorded. Can you believe that? You know, we write stuff down now. We record each other. I mean, this is totally against the grain. Okay. I don't get that, but you know what? That breaks ego down. That breaks my ego down. So my distorted sense of self will have me thinking that I am something that I am not. And when I lack humility in my life, I can't work one step. I can't get one bit of peace. I'll tell you a little. Most people are getting to know me. I'm in Phoenix now. I guess five years. It's 5 years this month. I moved here from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm from Jersey City, born and raised. Ego. Let's hear some ego. I know I'm not the only one with one. All right. And I spent all of my active addiction in the New York metropolitan area. And that area shrunk down to about a 5-square-block area where there was 2 methadone programs, okay? And, you know, I think about my life. It took me 2 years to get 30 days. Okay, I could not. I heard about the steps and wanted to understand what powerlessness was, but I was a slave to my thinking, you know. And when I realized that just because I thought it, I didn't have to do it, I could stay clean a day at a time. I first used drugs, first drug I ever used, I fell in love with, And I was 12 years old, and I got clean when I was 36, you know. And in that quarter of a century, I was degraded, but in such a state of denial that I felt like I was just I'm just playing the hand that you dealt me. Okay, that's all I'm doing. And I played it to the best of my ability. And you know what? I was not tough. You know what my biggest defense on the street was? Acting like a lunatic. That's how I got out of a lot of situations, was just crazy loud, talking about, you know, the angels and whatever, you know, they're right here, or just lunatic, just out of my mind, screaming. I made up languages and screamed and talked, you know, to defend myself, because I only weighed about 100 pounds. And I was in places that most people don't live through, you know, and situations that most people, and many, many, have died. So I had I had an acceptance of my lifestyle. I had an acceptance of my life. When I was released from prison, when I was 21, Women's House of Detention in Manhattan, they had in stone, you know, there's a wall that separates the exit from the street. And in that wall is written in stone, once an addict, always an addict. And somebody had spray painted 9 out of 10, come back again. Well, that to me was just a confirmation that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Therefore, I am going to pursue it to the end. I don't have experience in rehabs and detoxes. Nobody was talking about it, you know. I never heard the message, and I didn't believe that it was possible. It actually never came up. And I got clean by accident. And that is the truth. Narcotics Anonymous found me. I was not seeking it. And I owed somebody $25,000. And I ran to Pennsylvania from New York, which is only about 70 miles. But to me, you know, I hadn't gone 70 miles. I can't remember ever in my life going 70 miles away from what I knew and what I needed. And you know, believe me, I had a good reason for running. And it was only to regroup, was only to, you know, rearrange the plan, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and, you know, maybe go, move to the Bronx. I had burned Manhattan out, you know. So in a moment of desperation, I went to the phone book, and the place where I was a room with a mattress and a phone book, and one of those little teeny tiny refrigerators that didn't work, okay? There was no running water. You know, what I was doing for water, I'm not even going to tell you. And in a moment of desperation, I took that phone book and I looked up my favorite word, narcotics. Okay? Narcotics is the solution here. And I need more, you know. Fantasies of, you know, permanent IV, you know, was the solution at the time. You know, that's what I need, is a permanent IV. You know why? So under narcotics was the Narcotics Anonymous hotline. And like I said, I was not seeking recovery. I don't have a history of rehabs and detoxes because I could never afford to be off the street that long. Things change. You know, people move. Okay? I always had to know where everything was. And And I called the Narcotics Anonymous hotline, and as soon as I hung up that phone, man, I said, I just made a big mistake. I told those people where I was. Now, I have not had a conversation with anyone in a quarter of a century almost that didn't involve the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. I don't know how to communicate. You know, what am I even doing, you know? And because I always felt, I got to the point where I really thought that I had the power to become invisible. You know, the cloak. No. I really believed that I could be invisible. And so I hid like this behind the door, and two members of Narcotics Anonymous came. I told them my name, never mind where I was. I don't know what got into me. Desperation, that'll do crazy things to you. They came and they were hollering my name through the door, and I was like, just go away. This is all going to be over in a moment, you know. And those people stayed for an hour and a half. I kept them at bay for an hour and a half. There was Shades, and it's in Pennsylvania, and I'm like, I've never been here before in my life. It was rural, you know. I don't know. And I heard stories about rural areas. They could see me. They could see me through the shade, and they were saying, Patty, we can see you. And I'm like, no, you cannot see me. No one can see me right now. I'm not listening. And I mean, and for an hour and a half, those addicts would not go away. And I wound up opening the door to them. And they took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I don't know, Anonymous from, you know, I'm just not familiar with what's going on here. That I'm just not, okay? What I heard in my first meeting, the only thing that I heard was jails, institutions, and death. For some reason, that just rang in my ear. And, a quarter of a century, you gain a lot of experience in getting things from people without them knowing what you're taking, okay? I had a lot of experience in that area. And so I was looking for money, always looking for money, and a way out of the dilemma. And you know what? The reality of Narcotics Anonymous was too much for me. It was too much for me. I mean, people, I don't even remember what was shared, but they did bring me to detox, and I went through, I don't even remember how long it was or anything, but I remember having moments in that detox of pieces of my life flashing in front of my face. And see, for me, up to that point, the truth was what I got away with. I made my own reality. I made my own truth, you know. What is on my rap sheet is not the truth, okay? You want to know what the truth is, I'll tell you the truth behind every one of those charges, okay? And failure to appear should not be a charge, okay? That's just not right, okay? But in that detox, my life just, I had a daughter. Where the hell was she? You know, I mean, pieces, things that had happened trauma, beatings, my hurting someone else. I mean, just flashes and I'm like, I can't handle this. And as soon as then the sickness, you know, the sickness, I spent 20 years trying to avoid the sickness at all costs. And so that's how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. They found me. They found me, and I am forever, forever grateful. Took me 2 years to get 30 days. I just, you know, that obsession would hit, and I was in the grip. There was no just say no. Okay, I never understood. You know, if that worked, so many more people, you know, we wouldn't have these problems, okay? The whole thing, and I thought that that's what Narcotics Anonymous was telling me, to just say no. And I'm like, I cannot say no. You don't understand. Addiction to me is synonymous with slavery. Okay? And in slavery, you don't have a choice. You know? You have no choices. Your life is not your own. Okay? So it just took so long for me. But I kept coming back because the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous is very powerful. And it penetrated something that had never been touched. Okay, never in my whole entire, not even as a kid, nothing. It went somewhere inside me that I didn't even know existed. And that was the attraction for me, was the spirit of this program. I'll have 16 years soon. You know? No, that distracts me. I have to stay focused for you to get a clear message, believe me. See, for me, there is no gray areas either. I know how to live on the street. Believe me, you could drop me off the Lower East Side, which isn't, now it's a big friggin' shopping mall, the Lower East Side, okay? But I mean in the day, okay? And when Broom and Eldridge was, you had to know somebody to go on that street, okay? You could drop me off there and pick me up in a week, and I'd have a new coat, new shoes, new clothes, and I'd be high, all right? I know the rules in that game. I know how to. I know them. Now, in recovery, I didn't have a clue. I did not have a clue how to talk, how to act, how to work. Oh, please. You know, accountability. Forget it. You know. There's only that for me and the steps. And I used to feel like a lot of people come in with some other information, right? And I felt like, man, I wish I had their information because I wouldn't need to have to go to the depths that I go to with the steps because I have other information, you know? Societies. Information and people can function in society, and I'm not good at functioning in today. Even today, I'm not good at functioning in society. You know, it's not one of my preferences. Still, so for me, it's street or steps. And so when I got here, and I didn't know how to talk to people, I didn't know how to dress. You know, some of you guys, my first job, okay, you got to get a job when you get clean, right? I'm like, well, I want a disability. I need help, okay? And, I mean, I would go out looking for jobs, And many people know this about me, and I had a red leather miniskirt that was about this high, okay, and boots that were this high, okay, and very, very little top. And I go out and look for jobs, and nobody would hire me. And I would go back to the meetings and say, I'm looking. I'm out there every day looking. I can't get a job. I'm too damaged. I can't do it. And I looked for reasons to disqualify myself from taking the path that everybody around me was taking. Till it got to the point where with that outfit, I got a job, okay? I was like, are you sure? You know? And such, at 36 years old, my working career was over, and my real work, my social things that are recorded, started. And you know what? Without Narcotics Anonymous and people, I mean, and I come from old school, work the steps or die, motherfucker. You know, those kind of people, shut up. You know, you got nothing to say. You just need to keep coming back. Write your questions down, and in 30 days, we'll answer all of them. You know, I mean, people were, it was tougher. The fellowship was smaller, especially in Allentown, and people were not about using. They were about staying clean, and that's what this program is about. It's about learning how to live without drugs because we are inexperienced in that area. And the steps are our solution. And they're a set of spiritual principles. And for me to stand up here and talk to you about spiritual principles and that, you know, that's you know, against what would have been against my nature. It took my family. I had 10 years clean before my family even believed maybe she's telling the truth. And, you know, to this day, I think they believe it. I think they do really believe that I have not used anything. My mother used to think you got to get back on methadone, man. That's insurance. That's insurance that you will not be incarcerated for the rest of your life. Get back on that. And I'm saying, but my, I haven't done anything. And, you know, it's hard for other people to comprehend what Narcotics Anonymous is. They associate the narcotics with, you know, some sort of degrading disease. They don't realize that addicts can recover and lead normal, productive lives and save other lives. And I don't really try and talk or prove myself to people who I come in contact with who don't know what we really are about here. I want them to look at me and see it. I want them to look at me and see it. Narcotics Anonymous, it talks about in the book, you know, being a lifeboat. That's what this program is. And, you know, it's so important. When I said that about what's in the introduction, how alcoholism is too limited a term for us, because we're not taught. Who has not put the drugs down and felt okay? Who feels okay when you put the drugs down? You know, that's worse, right? That's worse. We're lunatics, you know, until we have practice in nurturing our spirits. Recovery for me is not about feeding this anymore. I cannot trust what comes from here. I always got to run it through here. My recovery is about nurturing this. And in the steps and the most important writing that you can do on the steps is examples of how you use it. Because if you're not using it, it's not going to help you. You know, if you don't start incorporating it into your life, it took me many, many years to understand what powerlessness was. You know, and today, I am no longer a slave to my thoughts or my feelings. Today, I'm not. At any given moment, man, those feelings can be so overwhelming, and my need to alter the state can be so overwhelming that, acting out in other ways is not beneath me. I'm working to improve that. I was told... This was a thought. Usually when I lose a thought, I never get it back. I just got one back. I better tell you before I lose it again. when I got clean, somebody with many, many years in this fellowship told me that we come in here 99.9% fucked up, and we get better at a rate of 1% a year. Okay, so that makes me only like 84%, 16 years almost. 84%, I'm only 84% fucked up. I am happy with that. I am so okay with that. You know, that's better than 99. Okay, and that fact keeps me grounded in this fellowship. It keeps this fellowship is like no other, and I don't have experience in other fellowships, but I've heard stories. Okay, I've heard stories, and you know what? I'm staying right here. This fellowship is it's unique in its own right, and the way that we relate and identify and touch people. Our steps and traditions are different, okay? We can, as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I can stand up and say, NA is my home, and it is a great neighborhood to grow up in, okay? I get to pick my neighborhood now, okay? That is tremendous freedom for me. I have gotten educated in recovery. Okay, I was absent 162 days of my senior year. I remember the number. Okay, I think there's only like 180 days in the school year. And I graduated because I come from a generation where federal money was given to schools based on how many you graduated. Okay, so I got lucky in that aspect. Okay, so I in recovery now, the job that I got in that miniskirt was in a hospital. Okay, and that's work. Okay, I went from one extreme to the other. That is like real work. You know, bottom of the barrel for me, I'm like, I can't, I worked in labor and delivery, and I actually cleaned up the mess for many years. And you know what? I said to myself one day, people would tell me, addicts are talented, addicts are, we're the most creative people. And I'm like, where's my talent? What am I good at? I am good at thinking. Who will pay me for this? I have a million ideas at any given time. And my heart, my God, said to me, you need to be an architect. Now that was unattainable to me. I love problem solving. I love building. I love physics. You know, I like to know how things work and go together, and I love to draw and design. Okay. And so what do that, right? Because I don't, I mean, I just found out that you can act, how to go on vacation, okay? that what you do, this is how you can go on vacation. I'm like, what? That's available to everyone? I didn't know that. I didn't know you could take your furniture when you moved. All right? I thought you left it and just started over. Who wants to carry all that stuff? So I went to schools. Lehigh University is close to Allentown in Bethlehem, and I went there and I said, I want to be an architect. What do I do? And I'm persistent too. Like, I want to talk to the head guy. I don't want to talk to anybody at a counter. I want to talk to the head guy. Through Lehigh University, they wound up I couldn't do what I wanted to do there, and they told me to go talk to this guy over at New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark, New Jersey. And so I went there, right? And I had to take tests, right? I don't know how to study for tests. I studied the dictionary to take this, like, SAT test. You know, every day I would write down 10 new words. How do you study for this, right? I did, in this test, I scored in the 15th percentile. That's a low score, okay? 85% of the people who took that test did better than me, okay? 15th percentile is bad. But I'm, like, going for this, okay? I'm taking it right to the end. And when it came to the admissions, I had drawings. A lot of sick and twisted drawings. It was mine. That's right. That's my portfolio. And the dean at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and I swear on my daughter, this is exact words, academically, you look like shit. But I believe that you are talented and crazy enough to pull this off. That's my kind of, I can deal with that. Okay, I can, so I said, okay, so when do I start? And they admitted me. And let me tell you, I almost had a nervous breakdown. It took me like 7 years, and I wound up, you know, bachelor in fine art and master's in architecture. Right. And no, I'll get distracted. And you know what? And today I am, it's like worse than medical school, okay? It's tons of education and then a big long internship. And then if the state finds you to their liking, you can take the test to become a licensed professional architect. And so, of course, you know, have you ever been convicted of a felony? How do we answer that question, okay? Well, what do you call a felony? You know, I wanna discuss this. It's not black and white here, okay? So I wrote a letter, and you know what? God has just followed me through the whole process. You know, they deemed me fit to start testing, and that's what I'm doing. And you know what? It is really not about me becoming an architect. It's about me telling you that you stick in this neighborhood, Narcotics Anonymous, and anything is possible. You go through some crap. What, you know, what is worth using over? What? You know, volunteer for slavery? That doesn't make sense to me anymore, okay? So I only tell you that because you know what? It's not about me. And somebody told me when I was going through that school, you know what? You may not, this probably isn't about you. Somebody who's there needs to hear what you, something that you got to say. It may be 3 seconds of conversation that's going to change that person's life. I cannot let my ego tell me that it's about me being something. Okay? It's about my message, like I said in the beginning. That is really all I have. That is all I have, is to tell you that in Narcotics Anonymous, freedom from active addiction is possible. And it will do for you what no drug can. If you stick and if you stay. And I'm like really comfortable up here now. But I know I took more than 20 minutes. If you knew, man, just keep on coming back. Everyone in this room is a miracle, and nobody is here by accident. When you walk through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous and you think, I don't think this is for me, guess what? Nobody comes through the doors by accident, okay? You belong here, okay? God would not have even, it talks about that in our basic text, God bringing us right where we need to be. And God brings us to Narcotics Anonymous, and Narcotics Anonymous gets us back to God. Thanks for letting me share.